Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
You cannot pass!
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Podcast, episode 41, the big 4-1. I'm Jeff Flo alongside Trill Ballins and Ken Jack. It's the last episode before we see Infinity War, but we got another episode in between this one and that one. We got Super Troopers 2 tonight, and we're going to rank all 18 Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. So that's exciting. What's going on, guys? What's going on?
Hey, All I know are extreme ways are back again.
That they are. And no, that is not a scoop that we know there's another Bourne movie happening.
No, but Moby said it, and so it is true. Let it be known.
So this is the first time we've talked on a podcast where Ken Jack and I have seen Infinity War. We liked it a lot. Ken Jack, initial ratings, Ken Jack gave it a 96, I gave it a 94. I'm pulling my rating. I may drop it a point or two, not because I didn't like it. It's still top three for me, but it's one of those things where I got to see it one more time. So we're seeing it this weekend. We're all going to see it this weekend. We're going to view it with James, Mr. Sunday Movies, next week and do a movie villain draft. We did the hero draft with him for Black Panther. We're going to do villains now. So any villain from any movie, not just comic books. And we got a little, there's rumors of a post-credit scene, but Trill Ballins LLC will not let us confirm if there's a post-credit scene for next Thursday's episode. So
there could be a post-credit scene. I'd stick around to the end. Also, yeah. Tell us a little bit about your showing of Infinity War. Was our jorts-wearing king in attendance?
Yeah, so Ken Jack thought I was joking, but we'd just gotten food, and I'm like, hey, Kevin Smith. And I think you kind of laughed, as if like you didn't understand what my joke was about, but like, oh, Kevin Smith. But I'm like, no, that literally is Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith.
I thought I was just going to be a fat guy in his hockey sweater. I was like, huh, good joke. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, like that's really him standing 10 feet away from us.
What was he wearing? Like
normal? A hockey sweater. And
he was wearing a hockey sweater. Hell
jorts,
yeah.
And a hockey sweater. I mean, they weren't the big like Jenko jeans, but they were jorts and it was a hockey sweater and a backwards hat.
He's and got a style coat. And he sticks to it. And you got to respect that shit.
Yeah,
because I know I do.
He was not in our theater though. He had to go to the upstairs theater.
Fucking
we got the nice one, and by nice one I mean that theater is disgusting. It's one of the Times Square theaters, and it is pretty gross.
Back growing up, we used to go to a big old mega church, and on Christmas services, if you didn't make it in time, you had to go to the overflow rooms and watch the broadcast of the service on that.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that. He got stuck in the overflow room.
Yeah, and I know exactly what you're referencing. A mega church, like where they have folding chairs, or just a really big church?
No, I mean like really nice big church. I mean just a big church. But a lot of people go to these mega churches. No folding chairs. And it was just like an activity room or whatever. Maybe they were folding chairs in there. I don't know. We made the actual service, not to brag. We were actually in there. So.
We've never had to, you know, go in the overflow room. But Kevin Smith did, so we got the cool seats. And again, by that, I mean gross. We liked it.
One thing. I keep trying to get my wife on the podcast, and she just came home, and she peeked in. And before I could even get a word out of come on the podcast, the door instantly shut. She saw it was a boom as fast as that. Come on the podcast. What's she hiding from?
People are asking for it.
Yeah.
Maybe she just hates your movie opinions and doesn't want to have to embarrass you on the pod.
So Kevin Smith was there, and Kevin Smith got booted to the overflow area. And Kevin Smith also didn't understand the concept of a review embargo.
No, the ticket we had literally had on it in very clear writing, social media embargo, 10:30 Pacific time. Then the next day, if the next one, it said review embargo, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time for the next day. He tweeted it like 9 o'clock Pacific time. And maybe even before that. Yeah, it was like 6 o'clock Pacific time. And he tweeted it, his review, with a picture of the ticket that clearly stated he could not say what he was saying. But I guess if you're Kevin Smith, like, who gives a shit? Who's going to tell you you can't go see these anymore? That's not going to happen.
Yeah, Marvel kind of needs him because he's the liaison between like regular pop culture people and comic book people. So they can't really say shit.
And he likes all of them, too. So he's a good one in terms of, you know, kind of promoting him.
Kevin Smith had a 90-minute review of The Last Jedi on his YouTube stream, man.
He did.
And half of it was dead air. He's like, man, no, don't. No. No, half of it was like, man. And then he'd be like, man, I don't know. Man, I don't know what to think. Damn. Okay, let me try. Man, damn. I love him, though.
Like, we love those movies, but that's the type of over-analysis that I can't do. Like, we hit our end with how long we talked about The Last Jedi, and we didn't even have a longer view compared to some other people. So I can do it for a while, but there's certain – I'm just like, at some point, I'm like, okay, that's enough. That's time to wrap it up. The Infinity War review is going to be fun next week, though. I'm looking forward to that one because there is a lot to talk about and a lot to speculate too, which makes it more. It's fun when you can speculate. I'll say that. Like, I like doing the reviews where you can speculate about more with there being like another Avengers next year. It'll be fun. So that's next week with James. Post-credit scene, maybe not, but I mean, stick around. Some news. Mm-hmm. Venom trailer. That was released 2 days ago with Tom Hardy, and you finally see Venom and you hear him talk more. What did you think about the Venom trailer?
I liked it. I not much more to say about that. I like seeing Venom. That's what I wanted out of the first one. I just want to see the Venom man. And we saw him, and he looked really cool. He looked a lot better than I was expecting.
I thought his accent stunk. And I think that I don't know what I feel about his suit. It looks like whatever. What's the bad guy going to be in it? Is it going to be whoever introduced the symbiote or whatever to him?
It's going
to
be
Carnage.
What's Riz Ahmed? It's probably, well, I could see Carnage. Yeah. Carnage would make sense. Oh, because somebody said Carnage is played potentially by Woody Harrelson, right?
Ooh.
We talked on the show, I think. Yeah, we did.
That's right. Carnage.
But I mean, Riz Ahmed obviously seems to be some sort of villain as well, or a bad guy. I don't know the Spider-Man universe all that well, outside of like the very normy things to know. I liked it. I enjoy the trailer, but there's a lot of people who don't like the trailer. Mm. We did a stream last night on Fortnite where we just talked with our listeners, and some people were like, loved it. And then other people were like, I hated it. So, I mean, it was a very interesting trailer. They said it was more like a thriller, and it was definitely not. It was definitely more action-y, just a little darker. But I liked Venom's voice, and I actually kind of liked what Venom looked like, too. So
I loved what Venom looked like. His tongue came out, a big, big, thick tongue. Not too bad.
Tom Hardy's voice is interesting, though. Him in accents, if you look it up on YouTube, there's a lot of videos about his accent and how even when he's just being himself, his accent is strange and changes a lot. So we'll see. It looks interesting. I'm intrigued. Honestly, this one makes me feel like the first trailer was more of a stupid decision because the first trailer didn't even show it.
Yeah.
And people were like, come on. But also the first trailer did something that I thought was just really stupid, whether it's for a comic book movie or any movie. At the end of the trailer, it didn't even say the name of the movie. It just showed the letter V. And like, you got to market this at least somewhat to a mass audience. And at the next slate, there was a small hashtag Venom movie, but like just the letter V, was that V for Vendetta? So I thought that first trailer was a big misstep because I thought this one, if this had been the first one, people would have been pretty pleased. So
yeah, I agree. I think if this was the first trailer, it would have hit all the marks. That might be what people are expecting versus what we're getting. It seems more like a thriller, and maybe people are wanting to see more action, and that's why they're disappointing. Would you think, is Tom Hardy polarizing? Kind of feel like he kind of is a little polarizing.
You think people don't like him?
Tom Hardy, I mean, is he universally loved?
I thought he was.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe he is. Maybe the criticism's just on his accent.
Yeah, I think most people really love Tom Hardy, which would be great for that.
He seems like the dude who has the most expensive bed in the world, but prefers to sleep in an Eno hammock.
Wait, so like, this takes
place right next to it.
What do you say?
Does this take place in San Fran? Yeah, it does, right? I think I've never seen the Golden Gate Bridge. What do you think the over-under is? Or I guess not really the over-under. What do you think the odds are that the Golden Gate Bridge gets destroyed at one point?
Oh, almost 100%.
Every movie that ever involves San Fran, it always gets fucking destroyed, no matter what.
Yeah, come on.
Magneto wrecked it. It was great.
Yeah. So that's Venom. That's a ways away. That's in the fall. CinemaCon happened. CinemaCon is one of the many cons, but there's a few cons, as if it's like some sort of illegal thing, but like many movie conventions, and there were a lot of things that debuted, a lot of which we didn't get to see, which I'll get to in a minute. It really pisses me off when they don't release something to the public. But the first one that was shown was the live action Dumbo. They showed live action Dumbo test footage for the first time, and it's very CGI looking, and it's an elephant with big ears. What do we think about Dumbo?
I mean, Dumbo.
That's definitely Dumbo. Really
interesting. It is Dumbo.
We're looking at the picture now, and I can confirm that this is an elephant with big ears, and this appears to be Dumbo as a first look. So
I'm actually looking at Dumbo 2 on my screen right now. Can you guys see it?
That's a funny joke.
He's showing me on his screen. He's saying, I am Dumbo.
Good one. Very good. So in this movie, Colin Farrell, Michael Keaton's in this movie.
Colin Farrell.
Yeah. Alan Arkin's in this movie.
Does Dumbo speak?
Oh, hey, I'm trying to get down the rap sheet here. Let me wrap this up. I mean, that was it. I was done. I actually have no idea who's playing Dumbo.
You imagine Colin Farrell playing Dumbo?
Well, but the big thing here,
thick Irish accent.
He's playing Holt Ferrier. I don't know Dumbo all that well, that movie. I've seen it, obviously. But the person directing the movie is Tim Burton.
Oh, fuck that then.
Which is,
I'm out.
That totally changes everything. Like, that makes the movie completely different.
It's Helena Bonham Carter.
And I'm not buttering that. I don't hate Tim Burton, but Tim Burton does not need to be taken on Dumbo. I don't love that.
Who is playing Dumbo? Doesn't Dumbo talk?
Pretty sure Dumbo talks.
So it's probably either Johnny Depp or Helena Bonham Carter, right? Like, it's got to be one of them.
Wait, what's this Twitter account you're on?
I don't know. I like the banner page.
I don't want to call them out, but the banner page are like attractive women wearing like nerdy T-shirts.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
we're gonna figure out who's playing Dumbo. I got to figure that out. I'm very confused. Anyway. Another thing that was talked about was Brie Larson for Snow White, the live action Snow White. That one's tough for me because I can't picture her with black hair.
It was, yeah.
But I do like Brie Larson. So she's been in talks for Snow White. Another one, we'll get to my favorite one in a minute. The first promo image for the movie Glass, the spinoff of Split and Unbreakable. Yeah. So it's going to involve all three actors, James McAvoy, Bruce Willis, and of course, Samuel Jackson came out. And it's a pretty badass looking photo.
Yeah, it looks cool. Yeah. That purple suit is a very Prince-type vibe, with the purple suit and the white shirt underneath almost looking like an ascot.
Yeah, it does look cool. Like Prince. Yeah, I'm excited for that movie. I know our buddy Adnan didn't like it, but I did enjoy Split. I thought James McAvoy had a good performance. I'm kind of excited for that one.
Yeah, I didn't get his take on that. Split was pretty good.
Yeah, but here's the big one. And I'm before I reveal a picture to our co-hosts here, they didn't release anything today. And I have been saying Infinity War, I've never been excited for movies as much as this one, but this next movie, it's rivaled for me. And that is the first promo image for First Man with Ryan Gosling came out today.
Ooh.
And apparently people saw a trailer and said it was intense. It looked incredible, like Interstellar vibes. Man, I am pumped for this movie, but I am so upset that they didn't release anything.
This might have the butter title belt for 2018.
Yeah, I think it does. I honestly think it does. Like, even more than Infinity War.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, because, maybe once the movie comes out, the buttering title belt has to be passed. So the buttering title belt belonged to Infinity War, and now it's
almost think about it this way. Maybe for, like, intrigue, because how much we're going to enjoy it, Infinity War, but, like, the butter belt for great movie, best movie of the year, I think this one has it. Like, this, if this is not a top three favorite to win Best Picture, I'll be let down, which is very lofty to do that to myself, but I will be incredibly let down if this is not a top three Best Picture nominee. I'm so pumped for this fucking movie.
I mean, he's playing Neil Armstrong, and he went to Purdue. So you can't go wrong here. Go back to Split. Let's go back to Split real quick and Glass.
Oh, okay, you want to see that one?
Yeah. Here's my theory on this. M. Night Shyamalan is back. And okay, but his success for some reason is tied to the Philadelphia curse, because he's a Philadelphia sports fan. And now that Philadelphia seems to be doing well at sports, he's now making good movies again. That's my theory. I don't know what the cause of all of it is, but I think that's just what it is.
Philly's back in a big way.
I want to Photoshop that poster and just put like P.V.S and have it a Paul Van Ass biopic.
That's pretty good. Paul Van Ass. So that's CinemaCon. There was more stuff at CinemaCon, but that's all we're going to cover from CinemaCon. Those are the things that kind of stuck out. There was a lot there, a ton. Aquaman footage as well, and people said it looks really cool. And somebody compared it to, somebody compared Aquaman to something very good, and I forget what it was. I will look it up as we move on to the next one. And the next story is Jumanji 3, which is the sequel to the most recent Jumanji, is apparently going to come out Christmas 2019. I feel like that can't be any good, right?
Aggressive. That's an aggressive development schedule.
Very.
Yeah. I feel like they must have filmed most of it at the same time. They're just on that island. They're just like, fuck it. We're going to film Jumanji 3 along with this regular old Jumanji 2.
I wouldn't be surprised if they make like 10 more of them, because the first one is already the 41st highest grossing movie in history, which is, it's higher than most of the Harry Potter movies and all of the Lord of the Rings movies. So that's like the green light for Sony to just sort of dump every dime they have into it for the foreseeable future.
What's the twist? What's the twist they add? They got to do a sequel twist, like a new character. Like what actor do they add to this movie?
Fucking Sylvester Stallone.
I almost just said it's going to be Kevin Hart as if he's not in it, but I meant Josh Gad. Come on, like it's going to be Josh Gad.
It's got to be Josh Gad.
He's not going to be cast. They're going to start filming. He just shows up on set.
Okay, guys. Go ahead. You're in this. We forgot. Oh,
I guess you're in this one.
I feel like Tiffany Haddish. They add her. Like, just because, yeah.
Her and Kevin Hart apparently had a pretty good dynamic in that movie that's coming out. I don't remember the name of it.
She's also in a show with Tracy Morgan, and I know that because it's for every fucking movie that we see. They haven't changed.
The last OG.
Haven't changed. Yeah, they haven't changed the first look with Maria Menounos in like 3 months. It's been the same shit.
We've seen that. Jeff and I have seen that same exact preview like no less than 2,000 times, where it's just fucking Tracy Morgan going, "What happened to Brooklyn?" like 2,000 times, and then like Tiffany Haddish yells at somebody trying to ask her to save the environment. Please, newbie, change the preview role. I'm begging you. Shit.
I love Tiffany Haddish, but she is in a lot of stuff right now.
She is
in a lot
She's
of stuff.
She's even in Groupon commercials.
Good for her, man. We got to make that money. So I applaud her, but that's why I feel like Jumanji would be a good fit, because like she's huge right now. Capitalize on that and add another funny character in there. I think you're good to go, because I think she's a lot funnier than anyone else on that cast, except for Dwayne Johnson. I don't know if he's funny. He's like more charismatic funny than anything.
He's charismatic. Let me go to this one quick before we move on to our last two bits of news. This is a tweet about Aquaman. Just screened a work-in-progress trailer for Aquaman, and it looks way beyond the scope of anything DC has done yet. Blade Runner underwater with superhero action. Ooh, that is...
Okay.
That's lofty. From an unfit, like a work-in-progress trailer?
Do they mean Blade Runner 2049 or Blade Runner like the 1983 or whatever one?
Let's see. Did anyone ask? I feel like somebody asked that. He didn't clarify it.
DC seems like it would be more of a 1980s one.
Ah, man. I don't know. That's lofty. Anyway, next up, Alden Ehrenreich apparently signed on for two sequels to the Han Solo movie. That has to be just contractual. That can't be
it's like an option, right? That's like if we make these movies, it's an option.
Yeah, like if this becomes an amazing movie that everyone loves, yeah. There's not much to say on that one. I needed both your reactions, because the last one we do have to talk about for a second.
I'm kind of feeling like Solo might be good.
I think it's going to be fun. I'm not sure if it's going to be good.
I feel like after the, maybe.
I think it's going to be like how we felt about Justice League. fun, yeah, but nothing great. Like, oh, I had a good time. Was it a good movie? No.
I'm sort of soloed up personally, but there is one situation where I'd be on board. And it's if the second one maybe is more Lando focused, where Han Solo is more supporting role, and that I'll be down with. But I have the feeling that this movie is going to end with Lando and Solo on really bad terms. So I don't know if that would work.
Yeah, I can see that completely. Just based on how Empire was when they met up again.
Yeah.
Last bit of news, and then we're going to talk Super Troopers too. This, he's back. We talked about it on Sunday. James Cameron's Marvel quote. He actually said this, I believe, on that same article, but we just talked about the Marvel thing then. We'll talk about this one now. Here's a quote from James Cameron. I find myself as a father of five starting to think about what would an Avatar story be like if it was a family drama, if it was The Godfather. Obviously, very different drama, very different story, but I got intrigued by that idea. So that's really what it is. It's a generational family saga, and that's very different from the first film. But like, I find myself struggling to have the words for this one, because I know he's not saying it'll be The Godfather, it'll be the greatest movie of all time. But do you remember any of the fucking characters' names from Avatar?
Jake Sully, that's it.
No, I don't. Would it be like, are they bringing that cast back, or would they just make it new characters? Okay, well, all right.
From what I know, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they brought back the general that had 10 arrows in his chest.
Look, I think... how is he still talking about a concept of this movie and what he wants to do with it? It's been like 9 fucking years since Avatar 1 released, and they still haven't made a sequel. He just keeps talking about it. Just make the movie, James Cameron. Like, stop talking, comparing it, saying here's what you want to do with it. Just make it. You got 5 more sequels to make. I'm tired of it.
It's funny I bring this up, because when I wrote this in my notes, this hadn't been announced today, is that George R. R. Martin, that's right, I almost said Tolkien. George R. R. Martin said The Winds of Winter, the next Game of Thrones book is coming out this summer finally. So when it comes to hyping up things that won't come out, well, who's worse, James Cameron or George R. R. Martin? I feel like George R. R. Martin just been like, I'm getting to it, taking a while. James Cameron like talks shit along the way and still won't release him. I feel like he's a little more bad terms with consumers on that one.
See, George R. R. Martin got famous in between writing these books. The TV show popped. So he's been living like high on the horse, just going into excess in Vegas, getting bottle service, just dealing with his fame. People seeing him up there spinning with David Guetta in the booth. He's got his suspenders and his little cap on. Like, he's enjoying his newfound fame. James Cameron's been famous for 30 years. He's a movie maker. He should be making movies. And he waits too long between these movies. And I don't have a problem with that, but this is a sequel. This should be something you just stamp out, get it out, put in the theater. Just do it. Tired of talking about it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it, James Cameron. You know what else I'm sick of? I'm sick of your fascination with the ocean. There's nothing cool down there. There's absolutely nothing cool down in the ocean.
I like The Abyss. It's a good movie.
If there is cool stuff down in the ocean, how come we don't live down there?
The funniest thing about this whole story, I thought, was imagining a Godfather character sinking into a Na'vi, like Clemenza sinking into like Jake Sully's avatar or something, and like the Enya lady being like, we have to spawn with the eternal tree. And Clemenza's like, yes, do not. Look, I got some penicillin. My belly's rumbling like a stumbalone. Yay.
I am. Besides that not being funny, I want to go into, I know I lowballed the Infinity War revenue numbers, but I hope it just fucking destroys Avatar.
I wish it would.
I hope it just crushes it. And James Cameron's sitting there like, oh, man, I should have done something else these 9 years instead of just coasted on the success of the highest grossing movie of all time, which is simply only the highest grossing movie of all time because nothing else good came out that year.
Yeah, that's the problem with Infinity War, and our friends of the Weekly Planet brought it up, which is a good point. There's not a lot of runway for this movie, for Infinity War, because there's Deadpool 2 and then there's Solo. But based on what we saw in that movie, people are going to want to go back again. So, yeah. I agree with you. I hope it blows it out of the water. We're going to move on to Super Troopers 2, but first I want to say Infinity War. Little tease, and I'm not, this doesn't give anything away, but we had about 5,000 submissions in our death pool. I actually thought we had less, but then I relook, I did not realize how many we had. About 5,000 between us and the Weekly Planet, they teased it. Only 31 people had 4 correct deaths. 31 out of 5,000, and only one person won. Only one person won. There were no ties. Tiebreaker was not needed. So congrats to that person. We'll announce it next week. But that was pretty crazy. I did not expect that to happen. I thought there'd be a lot of people who were right and it would come down to points and then tiebreaker. So we'll talk about that next week. Pretty cool. Excited for the Infinity War podcast next week. But it's Super Troopers 2 time. We come back. We will review the sequel to the first Super Troopers.
Steve Franklin was an ordinary guy living in New York City. He had an ordinary job, but something was missing. He was down on his luck, and he couldn't figure out why. Well, he did know why. Oh, if only I had a bigger hog. Everything would be much better for me. I just wish I had a big hog. But things were about to change for Steve with one fateful trip to Barry's boot camp. While attempting to kip 25 pull-ups, Steve fell and bumped his head. And when he woke up... Whoa, what's this? Oh my god! My hog is huge! I have the biggest hog in the world! This is incredible! That's right, Steve Franklin hit his head and thought he had a bigger hog. And this led to a bunch of hijinks. Yes, I'm looking for pants with a 32-inch inseam and about a 14-inch crotch drop. From the makers of I Feel Pretty comes a story about a man who discovers that it's not about the size in your pants, it's about the size of your heart. I Feel Pretty Big, in theaters, summer 2019.
All right, Super Troopers 2, spoiler review. And you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not going to put any time code in here. It's just skip over it. Like, if you don't want anything spoiled, it's a low-hanging fruit fart and ass movie. I don't know. And it's a bathroom humor movie. We'll get into it. But I'm just, look, if you don't want it spoiled, then whatever. But skip over if you don't want it spoiled. But we are going to talk spoilers from the start. Super Troopers 2. Ken, Jack, and I saw it together. Didn't discuss it much afterwards. We saw it at 11:15 in the morning. Tro Ballins also saw it in the morning as well. So we saw this movie in the morning. We were not stoned. So we did not get the experience that I'm sure many people went and saw this movie on 420 got. We saw it. We rated it. Ken, Jack, I'll start with you. What'd you give Super Troopers 2?
Gave it a 40. We're not doing spoilers. I can give like a smaller synopsis in that.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of expected you to say 40. I have nothing else to say. Move on.
That's basically it. The movie is such a fucking try hard, like just really fucking annoying thing to sit through. And they shot at like a 5% rate. Every single line in the movie was a joke, and like 5% of them were funny. And it was really like the jokes that landed were funny,
but everything shooting. Else.
Everything else was fucking cringeworthy, and it was really difficult.
Yeah, I'm somewhere along those lines with Ken Jack. I gave it a 50. I gave it 10 more points just because if you like Super Troopers, I think you're going to like this one. It relies very heavily on a lot from the last one, and it's very similar in feel to the Broken Lizard movies. So if that's your cup of tea, then it's going to be for you. Yeah. I didn't think it was a particularly... I've said before, like, I'm not a huge Super Troopers fan. I didn't hate it. You think about 50, right? It's just right down the middle. This is definitely something I think that is going to be on TBS within the next 2 years, and it's going to be worth watching then. But going to the theater and seeing it, I would say unless you like Super Troopers, do not go to the theater to see this movie.
It's not the worst comedy I've seen in the last 10 years. Not even close.
No.
I enjoyed it a little. I gave it a 61 out of 100. There were some laughs. Listeners, by the way, gave it a 63 out of 100. There were some laughs. But like I said, it's dumb, low-hanging fruit. I mean, that's just what it is. It's just dumb humor. It's,
yeah,
you know, a kick in the balls. It's a bear knocking over somebody in a porta potty. It's a guy with shaving cream on his dick as they're going to try to shave his, you know, pubes off.
Farva came through.
Funny. He's funny. There's a scene. Yeah, there's a couple scenes I like. The funniest stuff in the movie, though, Ken Jack and I did laugh like decently hard at a few things. It was like the subtle humor that, I don't know, it didn't feel like the same beat as the first one. Like there were some jokes I liked. Like the beginning of the movie opens up with a dream sequence where they're getting chased in a police car by Damon Wayans and Sean William Scott, like playing these cops, and they chase down the, you know, the cops, they chase down the group, and they're a band, and the tour bus, like it crashes or something, or people die, and it's like this crazy scene, and you're like, okay, this is clearly not real. And they wake up, and I forget which one said it, but they're like, who was in the dream this time? And he goes, oh, the cops were Damon Wayans and Sean William Scott. And I was like, oh, that's a good payoff. Like, yeah, there were some payoffs and some jokes that were really funny, but it was just few and far between. And again, it's the same thing I felt about Beer Fest. I used to love Beer Fest, and that's when I had I was even more into poop jokes than I am now. And I rewatched Beer Fest, and I just didn't laugh as much. And this one's funny, and I think those guys are very funny. Like,
yeah,
I will say that completely. And, like, this is not a knock on them. There's comedy movies that we've reviewed and seen that we're just like, these people are not funny. These guys are really funny. But they're also making this a certain type of movie. It's a certain brand. It's a certain demographic. And you know what? If people love it, then all power to them. It's just not for me. It's not my favorite type of comedy at all. But again, there are some subtle things in here that I like that just reinforces why I think these guys are really funny.
I like Rob Lowe a lot. Rob Lowe. Yeah. Interjecting him into stuff is always a good decision. So that was a good call on their part.
And being the villain, and he had a really, really thick, over-the-top Canadian accent, which it was really funny to me. It was pretty good. And Emmanuelle Shrieky was in it as well, and she is gorgeous and funny in the movie, too. She did a very nice job. Yes, yeah, Sloane, excuse me.
Sorry. Everything's Entourage-based.
Yes. Ken Jack, you got anything? I'm trying to make this an 8-minute review. You got anything else, Ken Jack?
No, dude, don't see it. It's not very funny.
I disagree with that.
It's shattering the glass. You know how, like, when Jeff talked about Beer Fest, he's like, don't watch it again because it makes you think, like, wow, this wasn't actually that funny. Like, I watch it and I'm like, damn, most of Broken Lizard stuff isn't as funny in retrospect. And it was so much of they didn't adapt to modern comedy. They did the same slapstick over the top shit that they did in every other movie. Don't you say a word about it, Trill. And it was just like very, it was too much for me. It's not my thing. And I don't think people should see it.
I think the point is I would never want to watch a Broken Lizard movie more than once. And so I'll watch Super Troopers 2 once. I'll watch Club Dread once. I'll watch Beer Fest once. But I think what Jeff was saying is Beer Fest has a very low rewatchability because you kind of see through it. But it's like Beer Fest. There are certain gags that have good payoffs that, like, are very, very funny, and it's sandwiched between other things that aren't that funny. They're not funny to me because we're brain geniuses, but they might be funny to other people. So I wouldn't say don't go see this movie. I would say if you haven't seen Super Troopers, don't go see Super Troopers 2. If you saw Super Troopers 1 and liked it, go see Super Troopers 2. And if you didn't like it, then don't go see it. It's very simple flow chart.
To the point of Broken Lizard, only wanting to watch it once, I've watched, I think, like, when Beer Fest came out, I probably watched it 11, 12 times between 2006 when it came out in, like, 2010, and then just didn't watch it for a long time. I don't think that applies for the period in which they came out, like, that mid-2000, 2005 to, like, probably 2012 or something, that period. Their movies are great for that period of comedy. They are just not great for now. Like, that style of comedy just doesn't play now, I don't think.
But it also played to your age as well, though. Like, Beer Fest was funny to me because I didn't drink beer when it came out. You know, like, it's like, oh, beer, like, sweet, drinking, getting high, like, oh, sex, like, great. Like, I mean, we were a lot younger. And, like, it was a lot of stuff, like, we didn't know. And then, like, you grow up and you have beer. And you're like, oh. And then you watch the movie, you're like, oh, that's not that funny. It's like,
okay, so true.
Not as funny as I initially thought.
So, Trill, you were of age drinking and presumably having sex at the point Beer Fest came out. Did you think it was funny when you watched it?
Yeah, I liked Beer Fest when I watched it.
All right, so maybe it isn't an age thing.
I think what it is, I mean, what I feel like Super Troopers 2 is, and it actually has a very interesting production history because I believe it was funded on Indiegogo, So there is a crowdfunded movie. So there, it almost was like there was a hardcore group of Super Trooper fans who put money into this project just to see it. They distributed it. I don't know how it's going to perform at the box office, but I feel like people who like Super Troopers 1, who are like 18 at the time and are now 35 with kids, this is just like simply a, like a nostalgia nod to them. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I think you're absolutely right in that like humor is definitely different in the 2010s and 2020s that now we're approaching than where it was. But I don't think this movie ever set out to change what they were going to do. I think it was just, they were going to do what they were going to do and they did it. And, you know, if you're a Super Trooper fan, then you liked it. So I'll defend it in that right. I won't defend it in the sense that I'll say I really enjoyed it because I never enjoyed the original Super Troopers, but I wouldn't say it's not worth seeing. I would just say it's very dependent on the time you put in and the price you pay to see it.
Yeah. I was about to say, okay, so I'm not saying don't see it. If like you see it for free, would you pay money to see it in a theater? Is the question. I say no. That was my point.
If I could go back and do it again, I would not pay money to see it in a theater. But yeah, I'm not
that's bad. My point.
But here's the thing. Here's what I feel like differentiates us from other podcasts. Okay. This is our differentiating factor for all the advertisers listening. If you liked it, I understand why you liked it. I'm not telling you you shouldn't like this movie. I'm just saying I personally didn't like it, but I can see why other people would.
Boom.
Yeah, that's
boom.
I think you should watch it when it comes out on Netflix or something while you're cooking or doing something else and don't have to watch it like physically, like glued to the screen, like me and Jeff and Troll all did.
I think it should be the next season of Chef's Table. Super Troopers 2.
That's just what it is. They just cut it up into episodes. Yeah. Super Troopers 2. I'm sorry. I know we like giving longer reviews, though we are. Episode lengths are going to be, you know, not always going to be really long, but there's not much more to say on this, except for I did like Farva swallowing M&M's whole like pills.
Yeah.
I thought that was very funny.
Where do the broken lizard guys go from here, though? I mean, this almost seems like their swan song. They made Super Troopers 2. What else are they going to make? They barely got this. I don't want to say barely, but they had to rely on fans to get it funded. And they're all very funny guys, but I don't know.
If they are successful with this, because they hadn't done a movie since 2012, right? I think Freeloaders. Yeah, Freeloaders. And it wasn't even in theaters, I don't think. I don't even think any of them were in it. Yeah, here it is. Because I looked this up earlier. But I don't think they'd done like a legitimate one since Beer Fest? Or is there another one? Regardless, it had been a while. The Slammin' Salmon. That was their one before.
I actually did not like that one.
Yeah, and then the one before that was Beer Fest, Club Dread before that, Super Troopers, and then Puddle Cruiser. If this is successful, I could see them maybe making like a Beer Fest sequel, because that is another one that people really like, but it depends on if this is successful. If it's successful, then yeah, maybe, but otherwise, they were kind of done as it was to begin with. Like, this is not like they've been on a good run and they're just still going. Like, they're, you know, it looked like they would be kind of over with.
Yeah, to their credit, their characters they play are very, I mean, they're very good comedic actors. I really enjoyed that. It's just like you're saying, a lot of the joke writing and whatnot, I think could be a little bit better. But I don't know how to do that. It's hard to criticize this. This is one of these movies that sits in the gray zone. It's the gray zone for us. It's the zone of Schrodinger's butter.
So you gave it a 50. Kenjack gave it a 40. I gave it a 63. Listeners gave it a 61. That is Super Troopers 2. And our listeners actually, they still thought it was funny, despite obviously not giving it a very high score. There weren't many comments in the Super Troopers discussion on our Reddit. Someone said, I loved it. I'm a big making fun of Canada guy. So if you like making fun of Canada, you'll like this one. Otherwise I liked it a lot. And someone said it was a mistake to make it. However, this seems to be an unpopular opinion. That is kind of what holds to what Ken Jack said, you know, don't ruin what you already like. So, someone said, not that I like the first one by any means, but this one's solid, or not the first one by any means, but it's solid. So that's kind of the ranging.
Let me go back to that thought of where Broken Lizard goes, because the budget was $13.5 million. I don't know if that includes marketing or whatever, but box office is 17.2. And one of the news articles is that it's shattering expectations. So I think it's doing pretty well. So we'll see what happens. I mean, Beer Fest 2. I would go see Beer Fest 2. I like Beer Fest better than Super Troopers. So I'd have a more of an emotional connection to that one. Especially if they brought back what's his face?
Will Forte.
Well, yeah. I was gonna be like, who's the SNL guy?
Who's the SNL guy?
Yeah.
So that's Super Troopers 2. When we come back, Marvel, all 18 movies, we'll rank them. You guys rank them too. Listeners rank the movies.
Mr. Cameron. Hey, yeah, Mr. Cameron. This is Ken Jack from Lights Camera Podcast. So, some people are outraged that you compared Avatar to Godfather. What do you have to say to them?
Well, to be honest, you know, I always saw this movie to be more like Pulp Fiction in a lot of ways.
How do you figure that?
Well, in the story room, the first thing I did was have all the writers watch Forrest Gump a few times, because it really influenced my vision of Avatar quite a bit. And then I said, okay, folks, this movie needs to be one part Rocky and two parts Lord of the Rings, with the side of the Green Mile.
Mr. Cameron, I gotta be honest, I don't see that influence at all.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen A Wonderful Life?
Yeah, why?
Okay, so picture that, but with heavy elements of No Country for Old Men. Also Toy Story, because there's obvious parallels between the toys and the Na'vi.
Mr. Cameron, it sounds like you're kind of just comparing Avatar to other really good movies to make it seem like it's something better than it really was.
Classic deflection. Okay, sorry folks, I gotta go. We're filming the second unit for Avatar 10, and I just have to say, please tell your kids not to watch superhero movies because they're really drawn out and really dumb. And they obviously don't draw their inspiration from great movies and cinema. It's just like CGI nonsense, unlike my fantastic movies such as Terminator and also Avatar. Okay, so goodbye everybody.
All right, we're back. 10 years. It's been 10 years since Iron Man. There have been 18 Marvel movies, 19 with Avengers Infinity War opening up tonight, if you're listening on Thursday. And if we drop this on Wednesday night before midnight, then yes, tomorrow. 18 movies, 10 years, lots of good ones, but a handful of ones that are pretty big stinkers. So where do we rank them? Where do you rank them, the listeners?
Hard to say. Jack,
yeah, it is hard to say. Except it is easy to say because we did do it. Ken Jack, 18 through 11. Your worst through your 11th. What do you have?
All right. So worst overall, I think should be Universal. Thor 2. Just so bad. So bad. Then I have 17, Iron Man 3. 16, Thor 1. 15, Iron Man 2. 14, Captain America. 13, Ant-Man. 12, Guardians 2, and 11, Ooh. Age of Ultron.
The only thing that shocks me there is the Guardians 2.
Guardians 2 wasn't, I don't think, like, it was like 75% as good as Guardians 1. It was just, it's, the only reason it was good is the same characters. The plot was just, there was, we have problems with it. We'll get to it later, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So quick reveal again. So Thor 2, Iron Man 3, Thor, Iron Man 2 was number 15.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America, and then your number 13 was
Ant-Man.
Okay, right. Sorry, just running back through those. So we have them down. Ant-Man. Okay, that's a little lower than I thought. I'm surprised by Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I thought that would be in your top 10.
It wasn't very good.
Interesting. Well, we'll see. There could be some differing on this one a little bit. But yes, Iron Man and Thor, the sequels and the original, I could definitely see those on the bottom of everyone's list. Here's mine. Number 18. Gave this one a 65. The Incredible Hulk. Thought this was the worst one. And it's stunk more since then because of what it is and its placement. Iron Man 3, number 17. Number 16, Thor, The Dark World. Number 15, Iron Man 2. Number 14, Thor, the first Thor. Number 13, Avengers, Age of Ultron. That movie did not age well. Loved it when I first saw it. It's a blast. I mean, that movie's still a lot of fun, but as a movie, it's tough. Number 12, Captain America, the First Avenger, which that one I liked more over time, actually. Number 11, Doctor Strange, and that's my 18 through 11. So Hulk, Iron Man 3, Thor the Dark World, Iron Man 2, Thor, Avengers Age of Ultron, Captain America, the First Avenger, and then 11, Doctor Strange, which I don't hate and just missed out on the top 10. But Doctor Strange was like, eh, it was just okay for me.
We have very similar lists, guys. Okay, 18 for me, Thor, Dark World. 17, Hulk. 16, Age of Ultron. 15, Iron Man 3. I'm going to make a cutoff there because now is where I start actually enjoying the movies. Those ones I didn't enjoy very much. 14 is Thor. 13 is Cap 1. 12 is Iron Man 2. And 11 is Ant-Man.
Iron Man 2 at 12. Okay, that's a little higher than I thought Iron Man 2 would be. And Ant-Man, that's right around where I have Ant-Man as well. So let me just go back to Kendrick. I didn't realize you didn't have the Hulk in your bottom.
I didn't. I just realized that too because I put Avengers 3 times with because I wrote out Age of Ultron, but then I wrote out Avengers Age and then just skipped past it when I was reshuffling.
So where would you have Incredible Hulk?
17 above Thor 2.
Okay. So we're going
I can redo it if you want.
Guardians 2 is 11 and then shift everything up and Incredible Hulk is a 17.
Okay, I that forgot that sense. Movie. It's so bad. Oh, mm-hmm. No wonder I forgot.
So, wow, you really didn't like Avengers Age of Ultron, Trill.
Ooh, no, I didn't like that at all. I didn't like James Spader, but I thought the movie was a mess. I thought it was a mess of a movie, dude. And it also coming off of Avengers, it was such a disappointment.
I like Spader, but
what they did with Quicksilver was tough, too. Quicksilver was rough for me.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Well, but the problem with Quicksilver that was you had an amazing Quicksilver in X-Men.
X-Men,
yeah, that's true.
The Quicksilver scene from that movie was one of the most memorable things from any like summer blockbuster that year. So yeah, so that's that. Okay, Trill. So yeah, very similar list. I think it's going to differ a lot in the top 10. Listeners, number 18 with 9 total points. So everybody rated them 1 through 10, and first place is worth 10 points. Second place vote is worth 9 points, and so on. Incredible Hulk, 9 total points at 18. Thor the Dark World, 10 total points at 17. Iron Man 3, 178 points. So just think about how much people hate Thor the Dark World and Incredible Hulk. Yeah. The jump up. Iron Man 3, number 16, 178 points. Thor, the first Thor, 189 points, 15. Iron Man 2 at 14 with 269 points. And then it jumps up even more again. Number 13 is Doctor Strange at 502 points. Number 12 is Avengers Age of Ultron with 509 points. And then number 11 is Captain America, the First Avenger, with 542 points.
These are very similar rankings here with the top 8 or whatever. Bottom, yeah. See, I'm a real Excel guy. Excel numbers, man.
So the thing, I agree with you, Trill, for me, 12 through 18 are all below an 80 for me. Mm-hmm. And then it jumps up to 84 and everything else.
Yeah.
And then 6 of them I have in the 90s.
Yeah.
Nothing above a 93, though.
Yeah, so there's a huge jump. Like, even in this first category, there's a huge line of delineation for me between my bottom 4 and then the rest of them. So Thor, Dark World, and Hulk were just so bad. And all I remember about Iron Man 3 was blowing up the house. That's the only thing I can remember about that movie.
The
Mandarin switcheroo. That was fucking stupid.
The Mandarin thing was so bad. That stunk. Okay. Ken Jack, 10 through 6. Narrow it down a little more.
So 10, because of the bump up now, is Age of Ultron. Number 9, Civil War. I feel like Civil War isn't as good as I remembered it after I rewatched it when it came out on Netflix. So much of the plot was dependent on a lot of circumstance, but still it was so much fun just having like that superhero fight.
A lot of plot is dependent on circumstance. I will take a note that circumstances drive plots. It's a good movie.
No, but like an insane amount. Like imagine if just Iron Man didn't come with the Winter Soldier and Captain America to the Zemo thing. Like imagine he just didn't come, the entire movie just doesn't.
So it's based on the unlikely circumstances.
Zemo's entire plot is like based off of an insane number of circumstantial things happening.
Yeah.
Like it's really weird, but it's still very enjoyable.
Okay, number 8, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Number 8, Doctor Strange. I'm surprised Doctor Strange is as low as it was with the listeners saying it's below the First Avenger. First Avenger was trash. Doctor Strange is a good movie.
Special effects. I thought First Avenger aged well. I mean, I have it at 12, so what the fuck am I talking about? But I thought that movie aged okay.
I think Doctor Strange was good, though. I think the plot ran pretty smooth. Cassilius or whatever, Mads Mikkelsen, not a great villain. Dormammu was kind of strange overlord villain, too. I think it was cool, though. The special effects, I thought, were fucking stunning. Like, really good. And then number seven, I got Avengers, the first Avengers movie. Number six, The Winter Soldier. That's it. The rest we're doing after that.
But wait, so you have the first Avengers at number seven?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's the most surprising thing you said yet, because I do see liking Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange for me was just a little, I don't know, it just felt a little stale. It's one of those movies where I was like, I like this, but now I'm worried they're going to fall into like this complete everything is the same thing with Marvel. It looks a great looking movie, really cool, but that's one of the ones that worried me a little bit. That and Ant-Man, even though I'm biased because I do love Paul Rudd, but okay. But Avengers, though, man, I thought everyone would have Avengers top three, so that's surprising. And Winter Soldier, too. That's a very popular top three pick. Some say Winter Soldier is still the best one. So, Ken Jack, a little, I like this. A little on the edge here. Living on the edge. I like that. Okay, my...
Living on the edge!
My 10 through 6. Aerosmith. Number 10, Ant-Man. Number 9, Captain America Civil War. Same spot as you, Ken Jack. I think I actually like Civil War less after seeing Infinity War. Because yeah. I thought Infinity War worked so much more seamlessly than Civil War did. Fun movie, but again, I thought Zemo was a really weak villain. Even though the point of the movie isn't really there's a villain, it's more that they fight each other. Number 8, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I still love Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, even though there are some pacing issues and they cut into every serious moment with a joke, which was a little regrettable, I thought, for them, but I still love that movie. Number 7, Spider-Man Homecoming. I like that a little less over time, but I still enjoy it a fair amount. And then number 6, my first movie rated in the 90s, Black Panther at 90. Black Panther just misses out at number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Trill. Ball ends. 10 through 6.
I'm here. I'm on the podcast. Number 10, Doctor Strange. Number 9, Civil War. Number 8, Guardians 2. Number 7, Ragnarok. And number 6, Spider-Man. Any surprises there?
All three of us, number 9, had Civil War.
Yeah, Civil War. I agree with you on the whole rewatching Civil War thing. And again, I haven't had the luxury of seeing Infinity War like you guys have. But I'd like to rethink Civil War in the context of watching that one. I didn't love Civil War as much as I thought I would love it. Still liked it, right? Still
like it was cool. Like there were moments that when you saw it, you're like, oh shit. Like that was cool. And you see it again, you're like, okay, not as cool the second time.
Well, what
we like about Infinity War, by the way, is there's a million holy shit moments in Infinity War. And I'm curious if we're going to get the same reaction on Thursday. But continue, Trill. Actually, Trill, what was your set? What was your 8 and 6?
Civil War for me was the movie Spider-Man appeared in. So that was like my big hype moment for Civil War. Mm-hmm. Eight and seven were Guardians 2. 7 was Ragnarok, and 6 was Spider-Man.
Okay.
The homecoming variety.
Yeah. Yes. He's homecoming.
I'm homecoming. Oh.
Listeners, 10, Ant-Man. Number 9, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2. Number 8, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Ooh.
Number 8, actually, I should have read the numbers. Ant-Man had 780 points. Huge jump at number 9 for Guardians with 1,445. Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2 had 2,074. Number 7, Black Panther had 2,570. And then number 6, Captain America Civil War, 2,801 points. This is actually a very close vote from here to the top. Actually, I lied. Top 3 was close. This is not as much. But that is the listeners 10 through 6. Guardians, Ant-Man, Guardians 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Black Panther, Captain America Civil War. Any surprises?
No. It seems like they're very close to our lists, except just reshuffled around a little bit. I'd be shocked if like Avengers 1 was 9. But it's not, so no surprises for me.
Okay, Ken Jack, number 5.
Number 5 for me is Iron Man, and a big part of that is just that it started off the entire Marvel Universe, and also I think the success of it, like how good it was, kept it running through how bad Thor was and how bad the Incredible Hulk was, like just because both Iron Man and Iron Man 2 came out between Thor and Incredible Hulk. So it was so good that it kept Marvel afloat, and any other franchise might have died out between then. Mm-hmm. It's so great. Downey has assimilated the role of of Tony Stark in such a manner. Like, it's insane to me, like, how much, like, I can't think of him with, as anyone else other than that role. And he is fucking great in Infinity War. It's not spoiling anything. Obviously, he was going to be amazing. So that's my number five. My number four, Spider-Man Homecoming. It didn't age. I rewatched it. I watched it three times, I think. It hasn't aged too much for me. I still think it's really fun. It's a great, great blend of... Fuck you laughing at?
The movie released in 2016 or 2017 hasn't aged?
Like, I rewatched it and didn't think less of it, like Jeff said earlier.
Okay. Well, you got me there. I'm not owned.
But it was so great, and it is to me one of the perfect blends of action and comedy. I loved Tom Holland as Spider-Man as like an actually teenaged and not obviously like 27-year-old Spider-Man. And Ned
Reconnaissance.
Yeah. And Ned is so funny as his best friend. Keaton was amazing. And Hannibal Buress, I know it's a random thing to point out, but Hannibal Buress's role, even though he had like three lines, so damn funny. It's just great. This is a really fun time, and I think it's a really rewatchable Marvel movie. Number three for me, Black Panther. I think it's the most serious one out of my entire top five as far as topic goes. I think they're able to get a really important message across while also making it, not letting it take away from the movie too much. And it was just great. It was such a great and like a phenomenal movie. Putting the money, that dollar in the phenomenal jar. It's just such an incredible fucking movie. And it's really beautifully shot, really well paced. And the villain Killmonger, I still think is like top two villain in Marvel, the entirety of Marvel. He's so fucking good. Number two for me, Thor Ragnarok. I think Thor Ragnarok was so much fun. I've rewatched Thor Ragnarok, I think, four times now. Such a fun movie. And to me, it's one of the perfect, I think out of all the movies, it's maybe the best humor overall out of all of them. And I think a big part of that has to do with Taika Waititi and his direction in it. I think that he made Thor from like sort of an unwatchable sort of stooge into like one of the funnier characters in the Marvel universe. And that carries over into Infinity War as well, which is great. And Korg, obviously, he made it into my final in our March Madness bracket for him. He was in the finals for me. And I just think it was great. I don't think a lot of people have seen it. You should definitely go watch it if you're a Marvel fan.
What? Yes, they have. Made a shitload of money.
Just, I don't know a lot. Now,
wait, like are you saying you don't think a lot of people have seen Thor Ragnarok?
I don't feel like people talk about Thor Ragnarok among Marvel movies like as if like it's one of the top five, and I think it should be.
I don't think a lot of people can. I mean, based on our listener polls, I don't think a lot of people consider it to be top five. I think the reasons you like it are also the reasons some other people dislike it. I think a lot of people found that there was too much humor in it. I like the humor. I'm with you there. I liked what they did with Thor. I mean, they definitely made Thor into less of a fucking, we must go save Asgard, my fellow brothers, into like an actual likable character.
I think it had some of the best single shots in all of Marvel too. The Led Zeppelin scene on the Bifrost Bridge or whatever is one of the better made shots in all of Marvel by far. And number one, take a wild guess.
Guardians one.
Yep, Guardians fucking one, man. There's no contest at all. It's my favorite Marvel movie. Perfect blend of action and humor. It's favorite. I watched it again this morning in preparation.
Hey, that's a good pick. We'll get to our number ones in a second.
The Thor Ragnarok was a little bit that was the only thing that surprised me, but I do understand why you had it there.
I'm surprised no Avengers in the top five. I really am. Your top five, by the way, Ken Jack has Iron Man, Spider-Man Homecoming, Black Panther, Thor Ragnarok, and Guardians of the Galaxy. My top five. Number five, Thor Ragnarok. 91 out of 100 for me. I love that movie. I really did. The only thing about that movie that separated it from being my favorite Marvel movie is I thought Hela was great. I thought Kate Blanchett was great, but it was just a little, I thought that bit of it was a little distracting. It was completely important for the story. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, and it made sense and it flowed well, but every time they left Sakaar, the planet with Jeff Goldblum, I was like, come on, go back. Like, go back. I want more Jeff Goldblum. That was the one thing that I kind of battled with, but I understand why they had to develop that plot and move the story. But man, that movie, what a fucking blast. The Korg scene where he says, I tried to start a revolution, but didn't pass out enough pamphlets. Like, he crushed it. Piss off, Ghost, all that shit. I mean, that was an awesome movie. I love Thor Ragnarok. Number four, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. For me, that's the most serious one in my top five. That's another one that at the time I was like, did I love that? But it's because they made it so different. They made it a spy thriller. and the addition of Bucky was great. These two right here, good villains. There's a theme in my top five for the most part. Number three for the Avengers, 92 out of 100 as well. The Avengers was amazing the first time I saw it. Just like that one shot of them in the city where it pans around. And it had three big things. One, Hulk, Mark Ruffalo. Like, just killed it, his first appearance as the Hulk. That was great. Two, you had Captain America, Chris Evans. That was the first time you were like, oh, shit, this guy is really good. Because the movie right before that was the first Avenger. And I was like, oh, he's okay. Not great. And then that movie, he was amazing. And then up to that point, Thor was, you know, Thor is not a great movie. And you just like the bleach blonde hair that he had. And it was a weird look. And yeah. It was so different in the Avengers. And Chris Hemsworth just upped his level of acting for that movie that it was so believable at that point. And it was a good time. Avengers was a blast. I miss Agent Coulson. Number three. Excuse me. That was number three. Number two, the one that started it all. Iron Man, 92 out of 100. This one, like you said, Ken Jack, like, man, Robert Downey Jr., there's nothing I think more of for a single actor than I think Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. I almost said Captain America, so that would have completely derailed my fucking point. For me, it's like him and like Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, because you just look at Robert Downey Jr., you don't even say RDJ anymore. You're like, oh, it's Tony Stark. That's awesome. Like, he had the coolest facial hair. You know, he's a playboy. He dressed great. It was awesome. Like, it was so cool when you first saw him do that because... And the other thing was, this movie made you like a superhero that most people, especially mainstream, didn't know shit about.
Right.
Didn't know anything.
Yeah.
You know, the most popular Iron Man at that time was The Race. Like, yeah. Seriously, like, it really was.
And I was going to talk about it in mine, but we'll just talk about it in yours. Like, Iron Man was a B-level hero up until that movie. And now he's an A-level hero. And that's what they did for that Iron Man character. Because when I thought about superheroes before that, I would have never listed Iron Man as like a top five, top 10 superhero. And a lot of that has to do with the way Tony Stark, a.k.a. Robert Downey Jr., portrays him.
Yeah, it's just great. I mean, I love that movie. Shout out to Terrence Howard. Rest in peace in terms of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, obviously. It's Don Cheadle now. And, you know, I thought the villain was fine for what it was, for what the movie was. You know, I think if that was released now, we may say, the villain, Jeff Bridges, obviously, and he played the Ironmonger, but he played Obadiah Stane.
Obadiah Stane, yeah.
He was fine. Like, he was, but the character wasn't amazing. But I think that movie was so much more about the development of Tony Stark and Iron Man. Yep. That's why I'm okay with it.
It didn't need a strong villain because you were just getting to know the Iron Man character.
Yeah. So that's number two. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think one of the things I really liked about that movie is how he didn't have like a 180 change of heart from being like kind of like the bad boy playboy to like all of a sudden he's goody two shoes, like Boy Scout. He's still like kind of an asshole, but now he's like sort of on the good side of things. And they made him really three dimensional as opposed to like a Captain America type, where it's just must do good at all times.
And a badass ending. Exactly. I'm Iron Man. Like, that's, I mean, such a cool way to end it. Also, a very delicious food scene. When he first gets back to America, he's chomping on some Burger King burgers. And that gets me hungry for some Burger King every time.
Did it popularize the post-credit scene as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
With a very big one. Where,
yeah. So, you know, I mean, also got to credit it for that as well.
It was the original. That's where Nick Fury comes out and says, I want to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative. And that's it. Started it all. Started everything. Number one, Guardians of the Galaxy. 93 out of 100. Another one that doesn't have an amazing villain. Ronan's okay. But you get Thanos. But this movie did miss a beat. I mean, this movie flowed better than any Marvel movie, I think, hands down. Iron Man's close, but this one had amazing pacing. It hit everything, every beat, it hit everything. And again, the music. The music is maybe what separated this movie. Mm-hmm. The music was worked in so seamlessly, and it was so badass. It's part of why I like Guardians, too. Guardians 2 had great music as well. But Guardians is number one for now. Because as of right now, at 94, I would have Infinity War. And I'm battling moving it down a little bit because I'm not sure what I like more. I'll tease this. Both have Thanos. And Thanos is so amazing in Infinity War that it may be enough for me to lift it over Guardians and like a tie at 93, or I may drop to 92. We'll see. But that's for next week. Trebons, top five MCU movies.
Number five, Black Panther. I love Black Panther. I've said it on the podcast. I loved how self-contained it was. It was a really cool movie. Not much more to say on that. I mean, we just talked about it on a podcast, but it is in my top five. Number four, Iron Man, the movie we all know and love that started it off. We just beat that to death. But everything you're saying about like tying Downey in with this character is so true. This legitimized comic book movies for me. I mean, maybe you can make the argument with the early 2000s Spider-Man movies to some extent, maybe some of the X-Men movies, but this was just at a different level of being entertaining. Number three is Winter Soldier. Not too much there. I just think that is one of the more entertaining movies. I like Bucky. Captain America became badass in that movie, even more so than Avengers. That segues into number two, Avengers. Avengers just fucking rocked. There's not much more to say about that. It had so much hype and it delivered on all of it. It was great to see all those characters on the screen. Number one, Guardians 1. I'm with you, Jeff. I'm with you, Ken Jack. Part of my love for Guardians 1 is this movie on paper should not have worked as well as it did.
Yeah.
You should not have said, we're going to take a talking tree. We're going to take a talking raccoon character, and we're going to take a gigantic wrestler from the WWE, and then we're going to take the dude, the chubby dude from Parks and Recreation, and we're going to make a movie out of it. And just such a great movie. It was a huge surprise. I gave it a lot of points for that, but it also is probably the most rewatchable movie. Both for the music and for the cast and the rapport of all the actors, it was just something special. That was part of why, you know, it was hard to replicate Guardians 2, or hard to replicate what they did in Guardians 1 with Guardians 2, but that's my number one. Also, shout out Zamora, too. I loved her off the cast as well.
Gamora?
Gamora, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm a big Guardians 1 guy. Gamora's great, too, but I think that's like, that's the least ridiculous character out of all of those. Like her character is a badass, whereas the other ones are like a tree, you know? So a tree and Chris Pratt.
Guardians, and I'm going to quote a former coworker of mine, Dan Sharp. He used to work at Marvel. And if I'm wrong, he will DM me and tell me I'm wrong here. But he once told me when this movie came out, how much he loved this movie. And he said that when he worked at Marvel and he read the Guardians of the Galaxy comic book, he's like, I didn't really like it. He's like, the characters weren't likable. You know, like it wasn't anything that I'd be like, oh, that's going to be an amazing movie. It said something along those lines. And then it was reinforced to me because when the movie came out, people said this is Marvel's biggest risk yet, because Iron Man was what it was. People kind of knew who Iron Man was, but it's a very easy character to establish. He's a rich guy in his suit. Guess what? Batman's the same thing. So, like, you know, it's not that big of a leap. Captain America, very obvious why that worked. People know who the Hulk is. Guardians of the Galaxy, like, again, you said it, a raccoon in a tree. And this big guy who doesn't like understand like normal humor and things that are said, weird villain, it's space. So it was a huge risk for them. And man, it did pay off. Number one for all of us. Trill Ballins, your top five, Black Panther, Iron Man, Captain America, Winter Soldier, the Avengers, and Guardians of the Galaxy. All right, listeners, top five. We're going to play a guessing game. Who do you think they have at number five?
I think they have Winter Soldier.
I'll go with that too.
Winter Soldier, number five, 2,830 points. Thor Ragnarok.
Oh fuck.
Thor Ragnarok. So it's in my top five, it's in Ken Jack's top five, and it's in the listener's top five. Number four, 2,889 points. Just a little ahead of Ragnarok. 54 first place votes.
Winter Soldier.
Yeah, same.
Iron Man.
Fuck!
What?
Yeah. Wow, that's way lower than I thought.
I mean, I guess that's the same spot I put it, but I just felt like... I felt like the listeners
it's the same spot as yours.
I just felt like the you know, when a lot of people vote, things kind of get condensed down to maybe more. I just thought it'd be higher once everybody got their opinion in. But I mean, I support that positioning. I thought it'd be a little higher on their list.
Actually, by the way, it's 540 first place votes. I simplified this because the numbers were too big because I'm a dumbass. So yeah, it still had a lot of first place votes. And actually the next one, number three,
Winter Soldier.
520 first place votes. You think Winter Soldier?
It's Winter Soldier.
Yeah, do it.
The Avengers.
Oh my God.
No, that's shocking because I would have said for sure Avengers would have been number one on this list.
Same. Yeah, that's what I was saving for.
So you know what? I'm going to go Guardians on this pick because I've been going Winter Soldier.
Just say 2-1.
Okay, so two is Guardians and one is Winter Soldier.
I'm going the opposite.
Okay, so here you go. First place votes for number two. It actually had more first place votes than number one, just by 40 votes. It had 1,240 first place votes. Number one had 1,200 first place votes. Number one, just beating out number two, Guardians of the Galaxy. Number two.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Did we all have Guardians of the Galaxy as number one? Wow.
Yep. Everybody had Guardians.
Galaxy brain geniuses on the podcast, our listeners. You know, this is probably the best list I think our listeners have put in. It really stepped up their game. It's a really good list. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a list that it's not the same as mine. Actually, we do have a lot of similar picks, but there's really no way for me to argue against much of any of this. Civil War is the only one that I would say I disagree with slightly, but that's just slightly. Like, I don't think that's better than Black Panther. But, yeah, that's a good list. That was fun. Yeah, I when I first tabulated all the votes, I was very surprised by the top five. And I'll read it again. Top five for the listeners. Thor Ragnarok, Iron Man, The Avengers, Captain America Winter Soldier, and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Love Guardians.
Do I have the same top five as the listener? No, I have Black Panther in my top five. They didn't have theirs.
Yeah, so that's that.
Oh, that's fun.
That is, yeah, that was good. I was really curious what that would be. We said we were going to do it for a while. Who's the best villain? Best MCU villain, if you had to pick. Just pick your top two. Actually, do that. Pick your top two.
Killmonger and Thanos.
Okay, but then do it also without Thanos, because not everyone saw that one yet.
That's tougher.
For me, it's Killmonger and Loki.
I like Loki and Vulture.
Loki changes sides too much. He's the fucking Magneto of the MCU.
Hiddleston is so good as Loki, though.
Yeah,
he is, but I don't think that makes him a good villain because he fights for the good guys too many times. So I'm not going to pick it.
That's fair. I can't dispute that too much. That's a very fair point.
He's kind of like an anti-hero, anti-villain combination. I don't know how to describe him, but I like Loki and Vulture. And I also like Killmonger,
maybe Winter Soldier Thanos. Winter Soldier.
Thanos is probably going to be up there, though. I'm going to be willing to bet Thanos comes through with the heat.
You will like Thanos. I mean, I hyped up The Last Jedi a lot, but I will say this again. I've tweeted this. When I left The Last Jedi, I knew what. No, I'm being fair.
No. What I'm laughing at is Thor Dark World getting one first place vote.
Yeah.
The listeners.
Actually, here, let me recap this. Five movies did not get a first place vote. First Avenger, Captain America, Avengers Age of Ultron, Thor, Iron Man 2, and Iron Man 3, and The Incredible Hulk.
I mean zero.
And I mean, like, not even removed the decimal, like I divided everything by 10 so the vote would be easier to read. Like it got zero. Like zero. Anyway, as I was saying about Last Jedi, I never want to raise people's expectations unfairly high. It's not a mistake, it is what it is. I fucking love The Last Jedi. But I was a little too like gung-ho and I left and didn't think about it, and I eventually realized, I'm like, hey, everyone may not like that movie. Like, it is very, very different. If you don't like the direction, you'll hate it. Avengers, for me, I think the only way you dislike this movie is if you don't like how much is in it. Like, if you're overwhelmed by it, you may not like it, and that is almost every review right now that's negative. Like, people who don't like it, it just boils down to people saying that was too much for me to handle. Ken Jack and I loved it. I hope you like it. I think the two things that I will fight anyone on about this movie: Thanos is fucking amazing. Josh Brolin's great. But also, whether you think it's too much or not, it's very impressive what the Russo brothers did weaving this all together, because this should not work. I thought it would be an 80% around Tomatoes or lower, and I thought I would probably rate it in the mid-80s. I was surprised it actually cracked my top 10. I really thought I wouldn't love it. I thought I'd have a really good time, but I would be like, eh. It just didn't work. Like, it was too jumbled.
Huh.
I think you're going to like the thrill. I'm very excited to see it again, because we saw it with like half Marvel fans, but also half critics. Like the critic that next to us who got up the P three times.
I think that's right.
And I don't think he liked it. And I really want to call him out and be like, are you reviewing the movie or your piss? Like, mm-hmm. What are you? Which part are you reviewing? But so we didn't see it in a very packed house Marvel fan movie. And that's what's going to be Thursday. And very excited for that. It's going to be a really awesome movie theater experience. I'm wondering if it's going to beat The Dark Knight / Force Awakens, because that's kind of tied for me. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited about this too, because The Last Jedi, I had a lot riding on it, and this one I don't. So I can just sit back and enjoy this. I'm going to sit back and just enjoy some superhero action, the way it's intended to be in the early parts of the summer, give myself some popcorn, maybe treat myself to a Bavarian legend, just because we have to mention that at least one time per podcast. We did it. It's there.
Friday, someone tweeted us. I always say this. Someone tweeted us. I'm just going to get his name. Hang on. Play the music from Jeopardy, the Jeopardy music.
Keep going.
Thunder. It was on Reddit. Okay, I got it. Somebody said Friday is National Pretzel Day. Actually, I still don't have it. I have no idea where somebody tweeted it at us. But Friday's National Pretzel Day. So, listeners, first of all, always tweet us a picture of, you know, if you're wearing an LCP shirt at a movie. Like, we love that. Come on, we'll give you that retweet. But do not tweet us anything from Marvel, Avengers, Infinity War at an AMC theater if you're not holding Bavarian Legend on Friday. It's just disrespectful to the Bavarian Legend on National Pretzel Day. There should be a National Bavarian Legend Pretzel Day.
I'm hyped for Infinity War. You guys have got me excited. The only downside is I'm seeing it in 3D, which, but I got to get in for that 9:30 early showing on Saturday because I don't know when this baby's coming, guys. And if this baby comes during the movie, I'm going to name her Thanos.
And by the way, Ken Jack, I just put us in a bad fucking corner. I was wrong. Tomorrow is National Pretzel Day, Thursday opening night. So just put us in a, no pun intended, pretzel because we may have to buy one now. Actually, we're going with Robbie. Robbie Fox may have to buy one. We may have to force him to do it. Also, tomorrow, Instagram Live. Yeah, Robbie off to eat it. The pretzel actually may be bigger than Robbie, too. It may be a bigger human than Robbie. But also on Instagram Live tomorrow night, we're going to put another $10 into the key game and try to win. So follow us on Instagram, at Lights Camera Pod. Ken Jack and I are wasting our hard-earned money away as we try to win a Minions Funko Pop that we can go buy at the store for $9.99. But it's fun to watch people make fun of us.
Next week's episode is a must listen. 100%. Yes. Like and subscribe. We are doing our second ever post-credit scene. You're going to want to stick around for that one. I just need to reiterate that.
Is that confirmed? Look, is the post-credit confirmed?
Oh, ooh, did you just confirm it?
I got go ahead from legal, and we're good to go on that post credit scene. It's going to be big. It's going to be it's going to change the cinematic LCP universe.
Oh shit!
It is. It's with one great guest, two, maybe probably the biggest movie we reviewed yet because it is bigger than The Last Jedi, and then three.
What?
It is bigger than Last Jedi. Come on, it's the biggest pre-sale of all time. It's actually, it's going to be in more theaters than The Force Awakens. Did you know that?
Okay. Well, I don't know.
It's the widest movie release of all time.
Tomato. I don't know.
But regardless, and then the post-credit scene. It is the most pivotal episode in the history of Lights, Camera, Podcast.
Podcasting.
And like all post-credit scenes, there may not be a definitive answer, too. It could be a little, you know, it might be a little... might require some, you know, reading into it. So we'll see. It's a big episode next week. But also, let's not downplay Sunday. We'll have a fun Sunday episode as well, unless you're in the hospital as your baby's delivered. And then it'll just be Ken, Jack, and I. Maybe we'll wrangle someone else on.
Yeah, try to get Trill Withers on for Sunday. Yeah, if I can't make it. Yeah.
Shoot the shit
with him.
We should get both them on.
Yeah. Mixtape Boys. I don't know why I left off Coley. He's going to hurt his feelings if he hears that. I'm sorry. I love him equally.
He'll hear it. He's a listener.
I was thinking about Tyler I Am because I was going back through some of his old tweets today. Someone did this like Photoshop of him like wearing a jersey like with mixtape on it or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, it is pretty good. It's a cartoon. It's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it looked good. It looked good. Oh,
okay. That's it. That's Lights, Camera, Podcast. Fun episode. I liked ranking those. That was a good time.
Yeah. We got to go see Infinity War, and you guys got to go see it again. And our listeners, of course, are going to go see it, and it's going to be a huge discussion. And James from the Weekly Planet, he's going to see it, but he's going to see it in Australia. So he might have a different take on it.
Maybe a different version.
Very- He's already seen it too. He actually did review it. It's already up on YouTube.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Well,
yeah. Non-spoiler. And listen to Weekly Planet on Sunday because their review is going to be awesome. Next week, we'll review Avengers Infinity War. The week after that, we're going to review I Feel Pretty.
Which I have seen.
That's true. You have seen it.
It is not.
And then episode 48. Actually, I'm completely off on the numbers now. So just complete. Oh, no. Episode 48. No, number's still wrong. Regardless, the episode releasing on May 17th or May 16th, depending on what time we release it. Another big episode as well. But we're going to review Truth or Dare that week. Truth or Dare. Blumhouse's Truth or Dare being called the worst movie of the year so far by some people.
Hooray. I'm ready for this.
Excited to review that
movie. I'm ready for this.
Ooh, I'm amped. And then after that, Deadpool, then Han Solo. So yeah, good little run here.
Big summer. Big summer coming up. Pitch Perfect 4. I mean, we got that in the pipeline.
Ocean's 8, Incredibles 2.
Oh, yeah. Incredibles 2, I'm looking for. Is that the big Pixar release this summer, or are there two of them?
I think that's the only Pixar movie.
I think it's the only Pixar movie. I remember they used to do just one a year, but then sometimes they're doing two a year. I don't know what they're back to doing two a years. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's just one. Let me double check so I'm not wrong here. It's just one.
Didn't they go off like Make It the Good Dinosaur and then something else in the same year as like the first time they made? Maybe it was like a Cars movie and something else.
Yeah, no, you are right. Actually, last year there were two. Cars 3 and Coco. There were two in 2015, Inside Out and Good Dinosaur. But before that, it was always one a year since 1998. Because from 95 to 98, it was Toy Story and then 3 years of Bug's Life. Incredibles 2 this summer, Toy Story 4 next summer. And then 2020, there's two. 2021, there's one. 2022, there's two.
Pixar shows no signs of slowing down.
No.
Plucky little animation studio that could. All right, I'm done talking, Jeff. All right, let's do that. I'm out.
That's it. We're done. All right, we're Bill Walton and Ken Jack. I'm Jeff Lowe. Go see Avengers Infinity War. I mean, no shit. We'll talk to you on Sunday.